Well, good morning. Praise the Lord. We're all here. Huh? Who's here is here, right? Well, this morning I had something that I have on my heart to share. It may come in several messages because I wanted to talk a little bit about the kingdom of God. That's a big subject, right? Before we start, we'll have a little prayer together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are always with us. You never leave us or forsake us. We thank you that we live in you and you are our living hope. So Lord, I just pray that you would give us understanding today, that you would bring a revelation and understanding to the basics, some basic things that are true about you and your kingdom. So, Lord, we just ask that you would come. You know, this is a big subject, and you know, it comes with a little fear because, you know, in Isaiah 55, it says this, his thoughts are higher than our ways, higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our thoughts. And then it compares that. It says it's like the earth is to the heavens, right? You know, you can't measure that distance, and so it's hard to measure the distance between our thoughts and his thoughts, or and our ways and his ways. So, but with that, we know that there is a kingdom of heaven. There's a kingdom of God. Jesus came and started to preach that when he came, you know, and he started to say the kingdom of God is like this or it's like that, and he's starting to teach us on what it's like, right? Because where our views are wrong or distorted or whatever. But the first thing we realize is that if there is a kingdom, that there is a king, and if there is a king, then there must be some level of authority, right? Because, and that's what I wanted to talk about today is authority. And to start that, I wanted to start off with a scripture. It's in Luke chapter 8, starting around verse 8, okay? Ocho. And it's a story where Jesus is entering into the city of Capernaum, and this centurion, who is a Roman soldier. A centurion means he was a commander of at least 100 men, right? That's why they called him that, right? And so he probably had officers under him, and then they had the men, right, that he commanded. And he comes up to Jesus and says, "Hey, my, I have a servant, and he's sick. He's paralyzed, and he's in deadly torment. So I'm not quite sure myself if he had an evil spirit or just a natural sickness. But either way, he said, would you come, you know, would you heal him?" And Jesus said, "Okay, you know, come on, let's go." But then he stops him and said, "No, I'm not worthy you to come into my home." And he understood a little bit of the culture of the day, and he realized it was not culturally accepted that Jesus would come into a Roman's home. So he stops him and said, "I'm not worthy." And then he starts to give a classic definition of authority. And he says, "I'm a man under authority, and I have men under me. And if I say go, they go. And if I say come, they come." See, that's a classic definition of authority. Now, with the kingdom of God, is it different or not? Well, we see here that Jesus doesn't argue with his definition. He doesn't comment about his definition. He just says, "Oh, this is a man of faith. I don't see this kind of faith in all of Israel." And then he says, "Your your servant is healed. It's your faith has healed him. So how did he take this classic definition of authority and put it, and Jesus just related to it as faith? Because this classic definition of authority is what the kingdom authority looks like. In other words, what this centurion was saying is that Jesus is a man under authority. And that Jesus has the authority to do what he's asking. So in the spirit, in the spiritual realm, in the realm of healing or casting out demons or whatever the situation was, this man, this centurion, understood that it was just a question of authority, that Jesus could do this. Because he was a man who had the authority to do it, because he was also under authority. So there we are. We see that this understanding of what we would view as a military, classical view of authority must be something that God understands and does. And is a part of. And we can see that we can imagine that before anything was created, before the heavens and earth was created, we know that there was God. And before he created the heavens and the earth, there was these other creatures that we call angels and other heavenly beings. And we know they are also created. And one thing we understand with that in a few scriptures that we have is that as he created all these heavenly beings, that there was at least three archangels that he created. We know about them and we know what their names are. There's Michael, there's Gabriel, and then there's also Lucifer. And we know that Lucifer lifted himself up at one point and wanted to put him at the same level as God, and he was cast out of heaven. And when he was cast out of heaven, it says that a third of the angels went with him. Well, why? Well, just because probably our speculation is that a third of each of the angels are under each of the three archangels. So a third of the angels were cast down at the same time that Lucifer was, because he was their authority. You know, as time in history went on, we know that first there was, people that started to populate the earth, and then there became these little kings that were little administrations that started in the different cities, right? And so we see that when Joshua was taking back the land of Canaan, right? All these city kings all came out and made war against him, and it. Times there was four or five that would join together and come and attack him and whatever. So we see that at that time there was these empires, small empires that were beginning to build. But then later we see that there was Assyrian and then great empires that joined all these cities together in regions that, the Assyrian Empire and then the Babylonian Empire and the Medes and the Persians, and they began to populate and take over parts of the world. But Israel, when it first began, was just started by families, and there was these patriarch systems that were there, and they didn't have a king. And so when they came up out of Egypt, they were just there, and you can read through Joshua and Judges, and it's a time before they had a king. And if you read through that, that when they asked for a king, God said to Samuel, "Well, give him a king. It's not that they're rejecting you as a judge; they're rejecting me." And so he allowed them to take a king, and we know the problems that came out of that. But the idea of authority was always there, and eventually it came into that the king had all the authority, and then he distributed that authority down to the people. Because before that, in the time of the judges, it said all the people did what was right in their own eyes. Sometimes good, but a lot of times bad. And you can read some horrific stories of what it was like with everyone doing what was right in their own eyes. So today we live in a society that's maybe slightly different, but is still there. Because if you go out there and you run a stop sign or go through, speed too fast and the police pull you over, he's got authority, right? And so if you are properly a person under authority, when you roll down the window, you say, "Yes, sir." And he says, "May I have your registration?" "Yes, sir, right away, sir." "May I see your insurance?" "Yes, sir, right away, sir." And so we behave because there is this authority that we have in our country. Do you know the story of Daniel when he and his friends were captured and brought into Babylon? There was the King Nebuchadnezzar. And it says in after they were there for a period of time, and it was actually in King Nebuchadnezzar's second year, it's in the second chapter of Daniel, it says they had this dream. And here's this king. He has this dream, and he's very disturbed by it. And so he has all these wise men and sorcerers, and part of the wise men group was Daniel, right, as a young man. And he said that, you know, he had all of them come in, and he said, "I have a dream. Tell me the dream and tell me the interpretation." And he said, "Well, you know, no one on earth can do this." And he said, "Well, if you don't do this, you're all dead," right? Now, it's an interesting thing because there was no murmuring that we know of where they said, "Well, we got to take this king out. He's lost his mind," right? The soldiers and the men that were in charge just said, "Well, this is the order. This is what we're going to do. You're all going to die." And Daniel says, "Well, give me a minute, you know, give me a day, you know." And he prayed, and God gave him the dream and the interpretation. And he went in and he gave it to them. And the picture was this statue, which the head was gold, and then the arms and the breast was silver, and then it was, you know, down to bronze. Thank you, bronze in the thigh and stomach and thigh, and then the legs were iron, and down to the toes were iron and clay. And the interpretation is that this is the kingdoms of men. And he told them specifically that the head of gold is you, King Nebuchadnezzar. And as we see in time, that we know what all those kingdoms are of that. Well, what's the gold, silver, and bronze and clay, or iron and clay all about? It's various kingdoms. But the quality of the metal changes, right? I think it's authority. See, King Nebuchadnezzar was the perfect authoritative nation in God's eyes. I just told you the story that none of them decided to assassinate him when he wanted to kill off his whole group. Well, there's another amazing story with King Nebuchadnezzar as years went on and he raised himself up and put himself up to the level of God. And there was also a message that Daniel gave him, if you do that, you're gonna be cast down. And he did. For 7 years, he became like an animal, and his fingernails grew long, and his hair grew, and he lived out in the wilderness. And after the 7 years, what happened? Yeah, the officials came back and got him out of that condition, shaved him, cut his fingernails, and put him back on the throne. Have you ever heard of such a crazy thing? That no one took the authority back from this insane man? See, it's perfect authority. No one took the authority that did not belong to them. When we go down to the Medes and Persians, which are the silver, we one thing we know about their kingdom, because it's in the same story in Daniel, that the wise men tricked King Darius into sending them to the lion's den because they were jealous of him. So they got him to pass a law, and the nation was set up in such a way that the law was supreme. And even the king could not change it. See, it's dealing with authority. The authority of the word that was written, the laws that were written. And so we see that there's this silver, not a gold, but a silver view of authority there, that the word that was written, that the laws that were written was that authority. Well, we know the story. They got theirs after the Daniel came out of the lion's den, and all the mouths were closed of the lion's den. He, the king, being upset, passed another law, and they ended up in the lion's den, right? So they didn't quite see down the path as far as maybe they should have. We're thinking, oh, we can get them to pass a law that he can't change. But then the next we know is the Greeks and Alexander the Great. And I know a little bit about that nation, but there's nothing in the scriptures about that at all. And it certainly was a strong kingdom and very authoritative. When he passed away, though, the five generals that were under him took over. The authority and the kingdom was kind of split up at that point. And then we know the Romans were extremely strong and like iron, and yet within their authority structure we see that there was the Senate that was there, and then they had the Caesars, and if you look at the history of that, many times the Caesars were assassinated or they were insane and they ignored them. And so the idea of authority was really, really corrupted. And now we know that we're down to this place in man's world history of nations where the Roman Empire is still there, functioning now in many nations and is separated, and now there's a lot of separate nationalisms going on in different countries, and eventually we know the rock, which began 2,000 years ago to be carved out by not by man, and it's going to smash and bring down all the authorities, kingdoms of men. So here we are with every kingdom having this understanding or situation where authority is there, where it's where the guy in charge or the king or whoever dictates down authority and is lorded over the people. But then we come to the New Testament and we see Jesus come and begin to teach about the kingdom of God. And he starts to give us better understanding of authority. Because there's not only this authority that is rudimentary in all kingdoms of this hierarchy authority. When in Matthew 20, when the disciples were arguing one day about who's the greatest in the kingdom, right? Jesus takes them aside and says, you know that the lords of the Gentiles, lord over you, and that they exercise authority, it says exercise authority over you, but with you it shall not be. But that the greatest among you will be the servant of all. And so what we see here is that the understanding of authority is being changed or given us greater understanding with Christ. So how does this work? Well, I've thought about this for a long time, and I came up with a little analogy, and see if you can help me, and, you know, see if you can relate to me with this. This authority that we've been talking about, this top-down authority where you lord it over people, is in all kingdoms and including the kingdom of heaven. It's like gravity on the earth. It's there. But we know that if in certain situations the idea of being able to fly, you know, aerodynamics is true, also true. So with the right conditions and maybe, you know, an airplane with the right wing thing, if you get up to the right speed, you can lift up above and go and change the understanding of gravity so you can fly. And yet, even though you've gone and now you're flying, gravity is still there. And gravity also helps and is part of the aerodynamic process, right? Because if there was no gravity, then the plane would be erratic. It would just be floating. It wouldn't be under control. So what happens is that there's this idea of aerodynamics that happens in certain situations and with certain power that you have for the get the airspeed up to whatever you're doing. I can't run fast enough. My arms don't work good enough to do it. But under certain situations, we have learned how to lift huge things and defy gravity by aerodynamics. And I believe that's what headship is about. Headship is like aerodynamics. So this idea of this understanding of a different, I don't even want to call it authority, because authority is this headship or head thing down, versus headship is something that is submitted not by force, but by willingness. by will. See, when a man and a woman gets married, Robin and I are married, I'm the head of the home, and she has willingly submitted to my headship. And that's exactly what happens in the kingdom, is that we come and we willingly submit ourselves to Christ as our head. And when we do that, then it becomes like we're able to lift up above this understanding of authority that allows us to still operate in what we're doing, but it behaves differently. See, Jesus came and he said, if you want to be great in the kingdom, be the servant of all. So we see that serving is, when you serve someone, you actually gain authority into their life. I experienced this on one of the mission trips that I took down in Mexico. We went to this indigenous people group, and while we were there, we served them. And in this group, there was many times the government comes in and tries to tell them what to do. And their indigenous people group, they like to do things their own way. And so a lot of times when the authorities left, they would go back to the way they wanted to do it. And so, but when we came, you know, the government had set up this, get them water from the stream up in the mountain to bring it down into the valley, and they didn't do it right, and it came down a little bit up a big hill, which was higher than the stream, and then went down, and so the water wouldn't go, right? So we spent 4 or 5 days digging a huge trench and getting the water down so it would flow. And at the same time, we brought a lot of supplies in for them, and we didn't just hand it out to them. We went to them and found out, built relationships with these families, found out what they needed, and we gave them things as friends. Versus, you know, I'm here to help you, right? And so what happened is that we saw that principle is that as you serve them and you come underneath them and you serve them and help them with what's going on in their life, as we spent time with them in meetings and taught them about Christ, they and how to live a better life in Christ, we left there and they continued with what we have told them to do, because now we had authority into their life, not that we took it, but they gave it to us. And that's the principle of what Jesus is saying, is that you gain authority by serving because the people give you that authority into their life. And that should be and is the principle of how a leader should work in the kingdom, in the church. We're here to serve you, and because of that, you give us authority into your life to speak into your life. But Jesus also said in John 14, he said, you know, no longer I call you slave and master. See that hierarchy. He says, I call you friend. Because a slave does not know what the master is doing. But I will tell you everything I hear from my Father. See, the whole premise of how that relationship works is not through this hierarchy authority, and yet that authority is there. Christ is still our Lord and our Savior, and yet and yet somehow we're in this relationship with him that we give him authority into our life. So in the kingdom, in the church, authority is different than just the normal authority that somebody's in charge and they tell you what to do. The whole principle of way we are supposed to operate as a body is that we all are supposed to be hearing from Christ and bringing that forth in a way that the body works to, so that we can all grow in him. And that's what was going on this morning. Different people coming up and sharing some different things. Hopefully, and the responsibility of the leaders, that we all know that's from the Lord and not from them, right? So because we're not to come up to share something that, oh, I think that's an idea, but the understanding that Christ spoke this to me for the body, and I come to give it the different gifts. So I bring this word to us today so that we can understand how the kingdom functions. Because this understanding of authority is there all around us. In the church, it operates through the aerodynamics. But in the world, we operate out of the hierarchy authority. In other words, I have, and God has given me, authority over demons. He's given me authority over sickness. It's not one where they need to submit to my authority. I just have authority over them. See, it's different. See, Christ didn't negotiate with the demons before he passed them out or casted them out. They were going out because he had the authority, and he decided that he gave them the order to go out of that person. See, there is this hierarchy authority in the kingdom, and we have that over the demon world, over the spiritual world, because Christ has given it to us. So we operate in both of these things within, outside the church, and with the battle that we're in with the evil one, and then we have how we operate within the church with one another. Because Christ said, you will not lord it over, you know, among you. He didn't say anywhere. He just said among you. So within the church, we operate with an understanding of authority that is given, that we give one another, that we submit one to another, that we understand that we are in this relationship with God the Father and God the Son and the Holy Spirit lives within us. We operate in this headship model where we're submitting one to another, and it's a beautiful thing because we're not just being told what to do. We're growing up into mature men and women, knowing our Father, a Father and Son. Galatians says that when we're a child is young, they are they are, even though they are heirs for everything that the Father owns, they are for a time under the tutor. And in that description, it's talking about the law of Moses, and now we're supposed to be free from that in the sense that now we've become mature. But the point is that this relationship that we have with God is that we're His children, and we live that way, even though He has all authority. So now I wanted to finish with one verse that recently, when I was thinking about these things and I read this verse, it kind of changed my attitude about it. And it's in Matthew 28, verse 18. It says that Jesus came and He spoke to them. He's about ready to leave. And He says, "All authority has been given to Me from heaven on heaven and on earth." All authority. Of God, who created everything, that was before everything, that obviously has all authority, gave it to Christ Jesus. All authority has been given to Him over everything. So if somebody comes to you and says, "I have all authority and this is what I want you to do," you say, "Okay. If I'm going to do that, then you've got to give Me the authority to do it," right? And that's what He's saying. He says, "Go therefore into all the world and make disciples." So here we are in this world that's all set up with this hierarchy authority. And whatever this authority is, it's all given to Christ. And now Christ comes to us and says, "Go. Because I have all the authority, go and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." See, both things that we talked about are in this verse. "Lo, I will be with you always" is talking about the aerodynamics headship relationship that we have with Christ, where we serve Him out of our willing hearts. And yet what He's saying to us is that He's giving us the authority of heaven and earth to go and make disciples so that they can enter into this relationship that gives them this aerodynamic relationship with God. And they can submit their lives to them and become disciples as well. So it's the kingdom is this amazing place. Where God of heaven is and has all authority. It says that the day is coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord. See, it's either going to happen. If you were an unbeliever, it's either going to happen because you're under the complete authority of Christ and the understanding that he is the top dog, and whatever the king says, death or life, is on you, right? Or you submit to him and you become into relationship with him and you submit to him willingly and beforehand. There's that other scripture that says that the rock, fall upon the rock. Fall upon the rock and you will be broken. Or let the rock fall on you and you'll be crushed into powder. See, there's the two pieces. Either we willingly submit to him now and we come into that relationship of headship with him, or the absolute authority that Christ has comes and crushes you and you're ground into powder. Authority is a beautiful thing. When we live under authority, when we're men and women under authority, then we become free in Christ to be ourselves. And yet, people have rejected everything that God has to offer because they want to do what is right in their own eyes. So this is our message that we get to bring to those. It said, go and make disciples. Go and not beat them over the head with the Bible, not to tell them they're going to hell, though that is part of the message. It's not the main part of the message in that we go and we make a disciple. And when we do that, then these people will come into relationship with our Heavenly Father and they'll find peace and joy and love in the Holy Spirit. So I'm looking forward to all that God is doing in this earth at this time, because I'm not afraid, because it's obvious that he has all authority. God can do what he wants, is what he has decided to do. And Tim started it off to say that his will was for us, that he would become one spirit with us. And that is such a powerful, uplifting, and I guess the right word is power. It gives us power to live a life that is pure, that is good, and a life that where we could lay down our lives for others. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that all authority has been given to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we do not need to fear any of the evil schemes of the devil or any demons or other things that are put before us in silly movies to the occult, Lord. Any of those things, we know all those things are under your authority, and we'll submit to you by being dashed into powder. So, Lord, I pray if there's any of those things in our life, that we would take authority over those things that you have given us, and that we would grind them into powder in our own life, that we could be free from those things. Anything from demons to idols, to selfishness, to selfish desires, Lord, all the things of the flesh that Peter spoke about last week, God, you have given us the authority over those things. So, Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit as you have called us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.